Hey everyone, welcome to the Optimism Show. Today we have Nikita, or better known as Borodach. Nikita, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here, and thank you for all the listeners who tuned in.
Thank you for joining us. Could you give our listeners just a tiny bit of background about yourself and the amazing projects you have actually in the pipeline?
Yeah, sounds good. So I've been building stuff in crypto, off crypto, since 2011, and my number of people who touched my products has recently reached 100 million users around a few days ago, maybe a week ago. I lost count of it. But yeah, I've been building a bunch of stuff, like one of the most prominent text transcription bots on Telegram, for instance. I think it has like 25 something million users, maybe less, maybe more. I've sold ShieldyBot with like 45, 50 million users to Oneinch Exchange in 2019, 2020. Can't remember the exact numbers. But yeah, and now I've been working on lunchbreak.com. Lunchbreak.com, a simple way to make money on your lunch break, I guess. And yeah, it's been fun. We've been working on this idea since January 2024. And we launched it, I think, in June. And so far, we've made $1.25 million in transaction volume. And I'm always saying this, but it's basically a miracle it happened in the bear market.
Yeah, but that really, like, you're building something that could really explode during the bull market, which we all hope is just around the corner.
Yeah, 100%, fingers crossed.
Okay, Nikita, like, one thing before we get into lunch break, I'd love to get your, since you have quite a lot of experience in raising funds and like building different companies. You also exited one of your massive Telegram bots actually in the past. So I'd love to hear, what are your thoughts when it comes to the funding landscape? Because it's definitely not the same as it was in the previous bull market. What are your thoughts? How has the landscape changed when it comes to funding projects and raising funds in the first place?
Yeah, totally. So from what I see currently on the markets, the conditions are the worst they've ever been so far in my memory, honestly, because the crypto cycle kind of has those swings. Like, you have evaluation swings up when there is a bull market and evaluation swings down when there is bear market. And every time you see all-time high during the bull market, seems like we are going to all-time low during the bear market. And it is unfortunate that I see so many companies in crypto space that are doing so well, raising such a small evaluation cap, which is surprising, honestly. Like, some companies they made so much money in terms of their fees, transaction fees they've done. They are basically raising the same amount of money under like pre-seed, seed evaluation, which are 25, 30, 45% lower than during the last bull market. So if anybody wants to raise right now, I would say wait until bull markets, ideally the peak of the bull market, to raise money, and try to make sure that you have an idea that excites VCs and funds the most.
That's actually an interesting observation. So, like, the companies that previously have raised at much higher valuations are now raising at much lower valuations. What are the trends?
Similar
that...
companies. Not necessarily the same companies, but similar companies.
Got it. What do you think are the current, like, if someone is, like, really dedicated to raise funds right now, like, what are the current trends that you see are actually successfully raising funds? Because we can say for sure there are some trends that really faded away when it comes to VC.
Yeah, 100%. It's always, what I found on the market is that VC game is very, very meta and trend driven. When people are seeing that Telegram apps have been gaining millions, hundreds of millions of users daily or whatever, because Pavel, the founder of Telegram, like posts about these companies, all the VCs ape into like Telegram apps and they ping their startups from their portfolio, like, hey, can you make something for Telegram? Like that type of stuff. Because it all comes down for VCs and funds and people who give you money, angels too. It all comes down to increasing the valuation of their portfolio by making sure that they have one or two or three like exponential winners in their portfolio. And they are trying to push the companies in their portfolio as much as possible towards being those like unicorns, decacorns, that type of stuff. Also, the word decacorn is funny. I always imagine a unicorn with 10 horns or whatever. Basically a moose, probably. Well, anyway, so what I'm saying is that it's very much narrative driven on the market. And even though all VCs might think that they are the smartest VCs on the market, I do see a lot of crowd mentality among them in terms of like talking to VCs, in terms of like seeing what's going on, talking to other people who talk to VCs. Whenever there is a trend, all VCs keep emailing their portfolio companies and trying to find companies that follow that trend. Like when Polymarket blew up with the US elections coming up in November, everybody has been talking about prediction markets since then. Even though during the time Polymarket has been up for the last 4 years, I think they spawned dozens of clones and nobody even considered those clones because there was Polymarket. But now companies have raised money for other prediction markets, which is an interesting trend that is probably going to die off after the elections, but we'll see about that.
That's a good point, but also in the sense of when it comes to raising funds, let's say there are also a lot of Web3 companies, crypto companies that are building something that can truly make a difference. And just the current state of the market is making it a lot harder for them to raise funds, but they might need it to sustain operations and to continue functioning. What are some of your thoughts over there? Like, what can companies do in order to make themselves more attractive to VCs at this stage of the market or during bear markets without really giving up a massive chunk of their equity or what they're building?
Best thing to do in the bear market is to build and wait until the bull market to raise. Now, some companies don't have this option, because they might have raised in the previous bull market and they're trying to survive. Maybe companies are trying to build something in the bear market. But my usual advice for anybody who is trying to raise money in the bear market is to wait until the bull market, because it is so much easier to see a clear trend in terms of what where money flows to, like specific popular ideas or specific sectors of the market. If somebody remembers, there was like DeFi summer.
Yeah.
And after that, there was like an NFT spring, I think, or something. There was like clear trend of what you need to be aping into and what ideas and sectors the money is flowing into. During the bull market, it is very clear. But during the bear markets, you have to be doing a lot of guesswork in terms of trying to figure out like what is going to be the next thing in the bull market. Because as trend shows us, companies that exit the bull market successfully in terms of making a lot of money or doing a nice fat exit through acquisition from another company, those companies tend to have entered the bull market strong. So if you're in the bear market, I would say don't try to raise money. Try to guess what's going to be the next hot thing during the next bull market and enter the bull market strong, so that you can strongly exit it too. So yeah, that's my advice.
Yeah, like really keep on building and like just try to survive until the bull market comes. And when that comes, when the trend comes, try to align yourself with the trend and start raising funds. Go like connect yourself to the flow of cash.
Yes, 100%. VC game is the game where people need to be looking where the cash goes. Cash does not go to you by default. It goes to a specific sector on the markets. It's been like that for the last 4 or 5 bull cycles. So I'm talking from experience and from looking at the retrospective trends that happened.
And like, that's a very interesting insight, actually, because not many would mention that it really goes to specific sectors. But when you analyze the market, it really does. Like we had the DeFi summer, we had the NFT craze. Also for a period of time, we had the Web3 gaming influx of massive amount of cash for games that didn't really exist. So really going for that bigger trend and aligning yourself there. One other question I wanted to ask you, and it's more of a personal experience level because you have raised funds in the past, is what are some mistakes that you have done in the past, maybe while raising funds, that you would really, that maybe you have done mistakes or you have noticed other founders do mistakes that you would really tell founders to pay attention to, especially when approaching VCs and when doing that negotiation stage of raising funds?
Yes, so one thing that everybody should be, and I've been telling this for ages to a lot of other, a lot of my friends, a lot of acquaintances, and to anybody who actually listens, I always say that you never raise your last round. You always, if you are into VC game, into venture capital game, you are into venture capital game. You're raising again and again and again. And one of the mistakes that we probably made, but I will never admit to it, is that we have not raised enough. I don't think we've anticipated this long of a bear market, but it's been the bear market for the last, at least, I think, 3 years. And we are slowly getting into the bull market that is hopefully, fingers crossed, around the corner. But still 8 more days for the October raise. But the thing is, when you're raising capital, you should always keep in mind that you are going to be raising the next round, hopefully sometime soon, because there is a thing called momentum in raising money. That's partially why we raised our pre-seed, and I think we raised our seed round within the next 6 months, because we had enough momentum going. With like VC's interest, everybody was hot, and we raised our seed, in fact, at the peak of the past bull market, if I remember correctly. We raised a nice evaluation, we raised a nice chunk of money. The only issue is that we probably under-anticipated how long this bear market would last. I would be way more comfortable having like an extra $2 million in the bank account right now, honestly. We've raised $4.4 million, I think, and both of our rounds were oversubscribed, but I would say that we should have raised a bit more capital to last through these bear markets like in a bit of a more graceful manner. I'm not saying that we are in any troubles, we are not, we have healthy runway, we have, partially because we know how to survive through the bear markets, we've built 3 or 4 different major products during this time, and our last project is lunchbreak.com. So don't get me wrong, we are in good shape right now, entering the bull market, but what we could have done better is to raise more capital back then, like 2, maybe 3 more million dollars in our seed round. So yeah, you always should be thinking about the next round. You should always be thinking about momentum. I'm not trying to lose momentum in terms of raising capital. We thought that the next bull market would come in like 2 years, maybe 1.5 years, which never happened. But fortunately enough, we did raise enough to still have healthy runway. So yeah, long story short, if you see that there is a bear market coming up, or if you see that you're at the peak of the bull market, probably raise more money than you need.
Yeah, raise more money than you need. And really, as you said, like if you're planning on entering or if you entered already the VC game, then keep playing the VC game. Like don't jump from one thing to the next. Like actually start thinking about the next round and the next round after that. It's not just a one-time thing.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things that constrains our company right now in a good sense, because constraints do bring in innovation. And do bring in like ambition, I would say. Currently, like we have a bunch of cool ideas. Before we even started Lunch Break, we had a bunch of ideas to pivot into, and we had to reject some ideas because they looked more like bootstrap business ideas without VC funding. When you enter the VC game, you're supposed to be the next unicorn, and not just for the VC funds, not just for the capital that's flowing in. For the angels and other hedge funds or whatever, like not just for them, for yourself as well. You have to be working on something that can become the next unicorn. You cannot be making $1-2 million safely a year and like live forever after, right? You have to become a unicorn within the next, like, I would say, I want to say a decade, but you have to become a unicorn within a few years in the VC game. So like very cool ideas that can bring in like quick buck, like $1 million or $2 million a year. Just don't cut it in the VC game. You have to be, if we're talking revenue, if you're talking showing revenue, you have to be showing tens, hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue within the next few years. You have to be prepared for that. So some ideas are just plain not cutting it to get into it. However, if you don't have VC money or if you only raise a small pre-seed round, I think it's, you can make $1 million or $2 million a year. Like there is that famous episode of Silicon Valley when their investor says like revenue, yeah, don't say that word. So this year, as soon as you have revenue, you cap your potential. You have to talk about ideas, narrative. It's just crazy how Silicon Valley is like more of a documentary than a mockumentary, honestly.
But when it comes on that sense, though, like especially for, and it makes perfect sense. Like if you actually are getting in the VC game and raising funds, your idea has to be bigger and your vision has to be bigger. What would you suggest when it comes to communicating that vision to investors? Like how can founders communicate that vision more efficiently in order to communicate the size of the idea and not just being another idea that's out there? Like what are some key points that have helped you quite a lot?
It really depends on the founder that is doing the pitching. It really depends on the personal style. Well, there are a variety of different styles that you can use to pitch ideas to VCs and the calls. But things that I've noticed is that you always have to be exciting to VCs and funds and managers and people who are talking to you on any calls. And you have to be crafting your pitch so that it excites people the most. And part of this crafting is your narrative. Part of this craft is trying to make sure that your vision is large enough. Part of it is using hype words in your pitch. I honestly do believe that VCs have a bingo board on their lane in front of them with the current trends, and they're just crossing off like the words, the hype words. And I think at some point it was like ZK. Okay, you're talking about zero knowledge, cross. So that's a check, maybe a check, not a cross, like a check. They check that box. Then you're like AI agents, okay, that's a check. Then they go prediction markets, that's a check. And I kind of feel like your pitch becomes so monotonous that and they hear out so many pitches a day that you kind of have to hit that, I want to say balance, but it really should not be balanced. You should be leaning heavily into narrative and the hype and the trends, because every time on the calls with potential investors, the thing that excited them the most, and I have seen that happening with their eyes, they are bored out of their minds until you say the hype word. Then they become interested and start questioning that more, so they become involved in the discussion. But also, VC is partially about pitching. VC game is partially about pitching, but it's also about how many people you know and what can those people do for you. And it's about networking. It's about knowing people in real life. It's about spending time nurturing those relationships and so far and so forth. But the book that talks in great details on how this all works, and the book that seems to be, I've read a bunch of books on the venture capital game, but the book that seems to be the most on point and the shortest one was Fundraising by, I think, Brian Breslow. I hope I pronounced it right, but it's called like Fundraising. It's like 2 hours on Audible, two times, this, like to 1 hour if you listen to the book on twice the speed, but he touches on a lot of good points about growing your network before you start raising, warming up the network before you start raising, and when raising, about how to talk about it, about the lead investors, about the game, about the cap table, everything. Like, everything is covered in that book. Even though I have conflicting feelings about the guy, the book is great.
That's an excellent resource, especially like for founders, and we're going to link it in the description below, because it's very short and straight to the point from what I understand. Like, an hour, you have an hour that can literally dictate the next 10 years of your life. One other aspect, and actually one of the last questions on this aspect, on the fundraising, is, especially as you mentioned, like, you have to network, you have to approach and build relationship with this kind, with different kinds of people. What are some things that you learned along the way for really adapting your pitch to different kind of VCs, to different kind of people? And what is the evolution of the pitch that has worked for you in the past and that you would suggest for other founders to pay attention to?
Yeah, so it's a complicated question about how to pitch. Obviously, there is a variety of books on how to lay out your pitch well. But also, venture capital game is a bit different from like trying to sell your product to a customer. Because venture capital validation or VC validation is different from the market validation for any product. And the thing you're raising money for might not be the best thing to be launching on the market. So, yeah, the thing about it is that the pitch itself, it has to be heavily narrative driven. And what I would suggest, that's what my co-founder told me, is to start with like third tier, second tier VCs, funds, angels, when you start pitching, when you start fundraising, and to craft your pitch based on those specific points that you found your pitch lacking in. And then after you get your pitch nailed down with like tier 2, tier 3 VCs, angels, and capitalists, then you can go to tier 1 VCs and pitch it to them. Basically what stand-up comedians are doing, they're going to no-name bars first, trying to craft their stand-up routine, and only then they go and charge people money at like large clubs, trying to make people laugh. But instead of making people laugh, you have to make people give you money in this case. So, yeah, and there is a bunch of good books on storytelling. I mean, there is Storyteller's Secret, there is Pitch Anything, a bunch of cool stuff. But mostly it's about making sure that you are hitting the trends, hitting the hype words, and building up FOMO, fear of missing out. Even with venture capital, it works. Crowd mentality works. Mimetic desire works. As an example of that, you might have really hard time raising capital right until the moment when you get your first lead investor. As soon as somebody vetted you enough, believed in you enough to get the largest chunk of the round, all the VCs you talked before start coming back to you, trying to give you money. It really does change the mechanics and the whole game when you get the lead investor. So I would say that in the first stages of your pitch, try to craft your narrative the best with like tier 3, tier 2 funds. Then the next step is to try to pitch it good enough so that you get a lead investor in your round. And after that, you are most likely going to be oversubscribed. So you have to pick and choose about whom to get money from and whom to not get money from. So yeah, that's how it works. At least that's how it worked in 2021 when you were raising money in the bull market.
Yeah, well, that's an excellent point in the end. It's like, just keep on refining what you already have rather than just go stubbornly and hit your head against the wall and hope that something, a magical thing will happen. But get that feedback, see how it can apply, and continue to the next one, and then continue to the next. And once it hits, go back, like gather what you have already built and like really, really moving from there. Before we move to the next topic, though, is there anything else that you think is very important to for founders to know when it comes to the fundraising game at this point?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I would say that certainly there are ideas that are unfundable. Sometimes an idea sounds really well, really, really logical. It sounds healthy. It sounds perfect for the market right now. Still, not a single VC is interested. There might be a variety of reasons for that. There might be, a founder with a similar idea that pissed off everybody on the market. VC market is very small. It's like, 25,000 people, maybe tops. And these people do talk to each other. And these people are most likely irrational, because people in general are most likely irrational. So you should keep that in mind. Sometimes there are ideas that you just have to pivot away from, not because the idea itself is bad, not because the idea itself is unfundable, even though, like I'm saying, it is, but because VCs are just not going to fund it for a variety of different reasons. And, well, I've seen it again and again on the market when a variety of different founders trying to pitch an idea to VCs fail at it, then it takes them too long to start pitching another idea to investors. Maybe even the same investors, because as soon as you have an investor or a VC on the call, you pitch an idea to them, you've established that line of communication. You have to be using it for the next idea, and you have to be pivoting into it soon enough. You have to find a balance. Jumping between ideas too frequently is going to get you blacklisted, but ignored, because there are founders that are trying to pitch too many ideas a year, but also there are founders that pitch an idea, then disappear for 5 years and then come back to try to pitch it, but the connection is lost already. There is momentum. There is warmness. You should always try to maintain that.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, actually. And also a point that not many will talk about when it comes to it. In the end, it just goes to making what is feels intuitively sense and not being disappointed if an idea, if someone screwed up magnificently with an idea, even though it sounds logical, and now there's no funding for that idea anymore.
Yeah, totally. But there might be funding in half a year, in a year. Because people are irrational. People do forget things. People do have short attention span. In half a year, this idea can still be pitchable and fundable. But right now, it might not be. So, yeah, there are ideas like that. And we should be always aware of that.
Nikita, is there anything else that I haven't asked you so far that you would like to cover?
I mean, there is a bunch of territory we've covered so far, but one should always know about the fact that we only have maps to all the territories, and map is not a territory. Map can never be fully, it cannot fully represent the territory that we are into, otherwise it would be the size of the territory. It's always stochastic. All the advice that anybody gives to anybody is always an approximation of how reality is working, partially because the reality is very chaotic. It's a chaotic system. A small difference in a very small variable can change everything. For instance, how was it Mark Andreessen who invested into an AI agent, and AI agent became a millionaire overnight, and now everybody... So the current alpha on VC market is AI agents. It is crazy how fast this happens. But the AI agent he invested money into, just sent Bitcoins to them, made the rounds in the news articles, and all of a sudden all VCs asking about AI agents. If you're trying to raise money right now, raise money for AI agents. Yeah, build an AI agent right now. AI agent that It is so crazy. Meme coins and AI agents is something that they would never expect to hear in the same sentence.
That's
but
true.
it is so prevalent in pitches right now. Like, we are building a meme coin platform with AI agents, and you can specify your AI agents to speculate for you. That sounds insane and stupid, but it gets funding. So trends change so fast in the blink of an eye, overnight. So you should always be keeping your hand on the pulse of the market.
That's an amazing way to wrap things up. So always keep your eyes on the market, keep your eyes on the trends, and as of the time of this listening, look into AI agents.
Yeah, depends on when this podcast is going to be released. You know, if it's released within the next 2 weeks, then sure, AI agents. What's next? We don't know. What's next is a billion-dollar question that everybody in the startup industry is trying to take a hit on.
Or you can ask your AI agent, what's the next big thing? Build an AI agent around that. Nikita, it was a pleasure having you here today, though. Thank you for sharing all these insights.
Well, thank you for having me. Always happy to hop on calls and podcasts.
Excited to see where Lunch Break is headed.
I'm excited too. Thank you a lot. Fingers crossed.